You can do it. And ASC Credit Union can help. With low rates and an easy approval process, a home equity loan from ASC Credit Union is the smart way to borrow. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASC. Equal opportunity lender, NMLS number 420259.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Montgomery City leaders are cracking down on businesses not following COVID-19 orders. Councilman Aronde Mitchell says several gas stations and clubs have been cited for not following the city's 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew and for holding large gatherings. Montgomery's face mask order goes into effect today at 5 p.m. Groups of 10 or more that cannot maintain safe social distancing will be required to wear masks in public. This order comes after the city council failed to pass a face mask ordinance at Tuesday night's city council meeting. And across the state, there have been more than 8,000 new coronavirus cases in the last 2 weeks. Nearly 28,000 people in Alabama have tested positive. State health officials say at least 800 people have died. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
It's time to get outdoors and get together for those fun gatherings and family reunions. Be sure to take care of all your guests with portable toilets from Alabama Dumpster Service. They're delivered where and when you need and picked up by our own fleet of trucks. Our competitive pricing means dependable, affordable, clean, portable toilets. Call us today at 334-288-1500 for availability and schedules, or learn more at alabamadumpster.com.
Hi, Rich Thomas for the Depot Furniture Gallery, which has recently expanded inside of Prattville Pickers. They have the absolute best selection and prices when it comes to rustic and cottage-style furniture in central Alabama. The Depot has many different pieces to choose from, including pub-style tables, dining room sets, coffee tables, entertainment centers, bedroom sets with nightstands, and many unique style accessories to make any home's decor the center of conversation. Sliding barn doors, smooth or rustic wood finish. The choices are endless. Follow the Depot Furniture Gallery on Facebook to always see the latest arrivals, because new inventory is arriving regularly. Come visit the Depot Furniture Gallery inside Prattville Pickers, 616 Highway 82 West. Other locations including over 3,000 square feet at Angels Antique Mall in Opelika. Visit DepotFurnitureGallery.com or call 380-3300.
Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air is open and here for you. Dixie is working with increased safety practices. From our family to yours, let's keep our homes and businesses safe. Visit calldixie.com.
License number 15033.
Have you heard about those guys on the Health and Wealth Show?
Hide your wives and daughters. Hide the groceries too.
Well, they're not that bad, but they are on the radio 6 until 7 weekday evenings on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for News and Views from 9 till noon, Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's News and Views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. I'm Joey Clark. Jack Campbell, my co-host, live from his kitchen.
How you doing?
Well, and Jack, I do not want to have our guests waiting any longer on the phone lines. I'll let you do the honors.
Calling in right now is an old friend of mine, both politically and socially and professionally, George Wallace Jr., who has now retired to semi-private life. He's gone from musician to politician. Back to musician. Oh, one time he was treasurer of the state. He was mathematician. But he's back to being musician in private citizen, and he's calling in to discuss the legacy of his father, former Governor George Wallace. It's my pleasure to introduce George Wallace, Jr. Hi, George.
Hey, Jack. Good morning. It's good to hear your voice and Joey. And also, I would add to that a very happy grandfather. We have six grandchildren and three boys, three girls, and the oldest is eight. So that should tell grandparents in the audience what we're going through and loving it. Absolutely.
Yeah. We appreciate you calling in today, George. And
certainly.
What I wanted to talk to you about is, there's this movement in the country to remove monuments and change names of buildings and military bases and everything else. And I believe there was a building in Auburn named for your dad, who certainly did a lot for public education when he was governor. And there is a move to change the name of Wallace Hall. And I'd just like for you to address that and to discuss the legacy of your dad and how his life changed over the course of our lives, for sure. And was revered in this state. He was loved. He was cussed. He was discussed. So if you wouldn't mind speaking a little bit to that, and we'll let you have the floor.
Well, thank you, Jack. I wrote a piece, an article after I read the story about the changing of the name, to try to give the youngsters at Auburn and others an idea of my father's entire journey, just not just a stop or two along the way. I tried to do that as best I could, because the essence of it all is the suggestion that he was a racist. Now, a racist is someone who dislikes someone because of who they happen to be. My father was not a racist. He, at one time in his life, having been born 101 years ago this August, had believed in segregation because he had been told as a child, as antiquated and archaic as it would sound today, that segregation was in the best interest of both races, because the belief was that anything other than that would bring about adverse relations between the races. Now, as time passed, he realized he had been wrong, and he worked to bring us all together with reconciliation, brotherhood, and nurturing our common humanity. But in thinking about a racist, I remember as a little boy, 6 and 7 years old, I went with my father one evening to a black family's home in rural Barber County, very modest home, to say the least. Really, they lived in poverty. And he was helping them with some tax work or some legal documents they had, and he did that. And I asked him about it a few years later, and he said, "Oh, son, they were hurting, and they needed my help." And I think about how J.L. Chestnut, very prominent attorney from Selma, who was my friend, and Fred Gray, talked about on PBS special relative to my father, that he treated them better than any circuit judge in Alabama when he was a circuit judge. One case had to do with some large landowners of Barber County in their dispute with some black sharecroppers, and Mr. Chestnut represented them. And the attorneys from Birmingham referred to Mr. Chestnut and his clients as those people, at which point my father called them to the bench and said, "If you don't refer to him as Mr. Chestnut and his clients, I'll hold you in contempt." Those are not actions of a racist. He simply believed in segregation, as people of that era did. And I would suggest that many of those Auburn students, grandparents and great-grandparents, felt the same way. But they embraced it way back then, most did, with exceptions, without ill will or feeling of malice or hate in their hearts. Now, that sounds strange to many people probably listen to your program, but that was the case. But his was a journey that we all took, the South took, the country took. And really, when you look at his life in totality, it can be an inspiration for us. But I know he was often fond of saying to the national media, "You know, you folks rehabilitated Hugo Black and Robert Byrd, who were both members of the Klan and always fought the Klan. Why can't you folks rehabilitate me?" But that was never to be, of course.
I read in your article that, and I remember when Jesse Jackson was a candidate for president in 1988, he made a stop to your dad's house here in Montgomery on Fitzgerald and met with him. And I remember when Jesse came out, some reporters said, well, what did the governor have to say? And he said, well, the governor was very kind, and we had a good discussion, and he told me to keep the message down low where the goats could get to it. And I just thought that was so funny. And your father and Jesse Jackson actually were friends there at the end, weren't they?
Oh, well, they became friends, as did my father and Joseph Lyrie. He was a friend of mine, and John Lewis. My father used to call John Lewis all the time over the years and say that John Lewis said my father would brought to tears as he would discuss what happened at Selma and how his order disobeyed and violence was the last thing he wanted in Selma. And that's been lost in history too, but his orders were disobeyed. He didn't want violence. But yes, Jesse came to my office and we rode out together to visit my father. And we were leaving and Jesse said, I'm going to go back. And we were putting my dad in bed. And he said, I'm going to pray. And my dad loved that. And so we all prayed together. It's a wonderful moment. Wonderful moment.
And in your article, you mentioned E.D. Nixon, who was a black pioneer in Montgomery. Goode Street used to be called Goode Street. Now it's called E.D. Nixon Drive. Tell me about your dad's relationship with the E.D. Nixon family.
Very close and very personal. And I didn't know that about Goode Street. I grew up over around Goode Street, Jack, and I'm glad to know it's named after Reverend Nixon. I went to his funeral. My father could not make it because, although he was an honorary pallbearer for Reverend Nixon, the family had requested that. So I went for him, and I recall there was a picture on the front page of the Montgomery paper of me embracing Mrs. Nixon. They were great friends. He would come to the headquarters in 82 during my father's last governor's race, and I had many wonderful visits with Reverend Nixon. And of course, he's the one who recruited Rosa Parks, you know, for her role in history.
Right. Well, I remember the gubernatorial race in 1982, and I was working for your dad's opponent, Emory Falmer, who did not have a good relationship with the black community. But I remember being at those political events where the candidates would speak, and sometimes I would have to fill in for Emory. And one time in Floralla, you were filling in for your dad, and then I had to fill in for Emory, and you went first. And I stood up there, and I thought, what the hell am I doing here? I cannot hold a candle to George Wallace Jr. I closed my eyes, and I heard your father. But I remember when your father would be at those events, and by then, of course, he had been shot, and he was in the wheelchair, and he campaigned from that position. All the throngs of black folks that came out to hear him speak and that came up to him after his speech to talk to him and meet him. It was incredible.
Well, yes, and I recall it so well myself that when he went to Dr. King's church in the 70s, mid-70s, one night unannounced, he wasn't governor at the time, and told the congregation that he had withdrawn, that he had been raised that way, and that he asked for their forgiveness. That we need to all move together. They knew he was sincere, and it was from the heart. He had suffered because of the gunshot wounds, and they had suffered in many ways. And he was concerned that some of his actions might have caused some of that suffering, frankly. So they knew he was sincere. And I talked to Gary Sinise, who portrayed my father in the three-hour TNT special in 97, and he said he told me at Lakewood Ranch a few years ago how what a revelation it was to him about my father's entire life, and that meant a lot to me.
Now, again, folks, we're talking to George Wallace Jr., and George, you know, I'm a young man. I'm only 31 years here on God's green earth, and so the most famous moment, maybe infamous moment, is your father in the schoolhouse door, the University of Alabama. But as you wrote in this op-ed, and it was news to me, I just have to admit my ignorance about this, his relationship with the two students changed over time. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, this is a great story, George. I want you to recount that.
Well, yes, he and James Hood and Vivian Malone were became close friends, and the Wallace Foundation many years ago presented Vivian Malone Jones with the first Lurleen B. Wallace Courage Award, and he spent time with him, and it was a wonderful relationship. And actually, Vivian Malone Jones came to my father's funeral. And many people don't realize that, but it was sincere and it was real. It was heartfelt. And that's the story of my father. He was part of one era. He was part of the old South. I like to think he was part of the new South. And that's a wonderful story, yes.
Oh, and George, what do you think motivated your father to be able to change his mind to rectify relationships, and maybe even to the point where he admits where he's wrong about many things, but also thinking about the folks who, like those students and so many others, who forgave him? You know, and we seem to live in times where that doesn't happen too often. There are a lot of apologies and not much forgiveness. What do you think that was motivated folks to be able to come together and again rectify these relationships and end up, you know, celebrating lives at funerals and being able to, you know, love one another?
I think his conscience brought him to that, call him the road to Damascus, if you will, to that point. And he was so sincere, and they knew it. I've found over the years, I've been in politics some, that there are two groups that are pretty hard to fool. If you're talking to a group of farmers or an audience of black folks, they get it pretty quickly, and they knew he was sincere. But his also was based on his Christian faith. He used to tell me at night, I visit with him at night, and in his later years, I would type scripture for him, and we would talk or just sit together in silence. And he said, "Son, I used to think politics was the most important thing in the world, and it's certainly a way to help people and enhance the quality of life, but it's your relationship with the Lord. I think the essence of my father's journey and feelings was his Christian faith, and that was such an important part of his life."
George, I remember in 1996, a couple of years before your dad died, Bob Dole, in the last 3 days of that campaign, he was a Republican nominee for president, and you got word to me, and I was working with the Dole campaign to help with that event. It was down at the foot of the Capitol steps. And your dad wanted to meet Bob Dole. And
they were both war veterans.
Yeah. And all I had to say to the Dole people was, Governor Wallace is not governor anymore, but he's a World War II vet. He would like to meet the senator. And there was never a hesitation. They said, absolutely. And I remember, and I wasn't inside, I was outside, but your dad met Senator Dole in the rotunda of the Capitol, and they had a brief meeting, and that was really cool to me, one war vet to another.
Yeah, they were both part of that greatest generation, Jack, that built what appears to be tumbling down now to some extent, but they fought back the Depression, won the war, came back and built the country, and he had great admiration for Senator Dole, as we all do, and we voted for him, certainly. We voted for him.
I love to tell this story. My mother was from the Bronx, New York, and back in 1968, when your dad was running for president, they came down to visit, and the whole time they were here, you know, the presidential campaign was going on, and all they did was talk about what a horrible guy George Wallace was. And my father remained silent. You know, he didn't like controversy. So we are taking them to the airport. They're flying back to New York. And my father made a comment, "Sure is a hell of a lot of traffic out here. I bet old George Wallace is out here campaigning." And sure enough, we get to the airport, and there your dad is. And he sees my father. And he says, "Hey, Woodley, how you doing?" And he comes over to speak to my dad, and my mother's friends from New York, the color drained out of their faces. And my father said, "Oh, George, I want you to meet my wife's friends from the Bronx." And so your father poured it on. And when they got on the airplane to fly to Atlanta to make their connection, your dad got up out of his seat, came back to where they were sitting and visited with them for a few minutes, and they went back to New York totally charmed by your dad. I love telling that story.
That's a great story, Jack. And he was very charming, very sincere. And I've had people tell me over the years when he was campaigning for office that when they'd come in, he'd go in someone's office to talk to him in the town. You might have been looking for a contribution or what, you know how that goes. But I've had people say, you know, when your dad sat and talked to me, he really did talk to me. He said, I knew why he was there. He was wondering what my support. But he talked to me, and I could. Dad was unique. He had all the great attributes that make you a great politician, plus that memory like an elephant. So my sisters and I always joked that he could remember everything except our birthdays. But anyway, he had a great memory, and he picked up on a conversation in '68 when he ran as an independent, and then see someone else in Florida in '72, 4 years later. He picked up on a conversation he last started in '68 with that person. It was remarkable, truly remarkable. Yeah.
Do you mind sharing the story of your dad being on Meet the Press with that little mousy man, Lawrence Spivak, who used to, he was the original host of that show, and he got a little testy with your dad. Can you tell that story? Because it's very amusing.
Well, I will, and a lot of people heard it. Actually, he and Lawrence Spivak became pretty good friends there at the end after he got to know him. Like David Dick with CBS, who covered my father in 72, and used to interview me every night after he'd been shot at Holy Cross Hospital, give an update. He said, George, I knew by traveling with your dad that he was not a racist CBS News correspondent, and I'm a, but he was on Meet the Press, and I think they became frustrated and said, Governor Wallace, you must think you're the smartest man in the world. And Dad said, no, sir, I don't think I'm the smartest man in the world. I certainly don't think I'm the smartest man in Alabama, but I know one thing for certain, I'm the smartest man on this television program today. people recount that to Elizabeth and me everywhere we go. I mean, we can't go anywhere without people sharing that story, but it was
well,
Al quick.
Lambert does a great impression of your dad.
Oh, Al does a wonderful one. Yeah, he does.
Well, yeah, George, does. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm just glad to be with you. I understand, and I just tell you a quick story. My dad used to come visit me when I was treasurer, and he would sit behind my desk with me, and we'd go over perhaps Board of Adjustment cases, and he enjoyed that. Then his security men would roll him down to Mother's Bust, and I'd walk with him. He'd pause there for a good while and often thought what he must have been thinking going back in his mind. And then we go look at the portraits. And Jack, I always thought to myself, never mentioned to him, that there would come a day, and I think we've reached that time, when there would be a movement to remove his and mother's portraits and her statue. I believe that'll come one day, too. Unless people understand history and look at the full texture of someone and how his story could be an inspiration to us all in actually a very Christian way.
Wow. Well, George,
thank you
so much for calling in. I know you don't do this much anymore, and I really appreciate it. And I know our audience loved hearing from you. And when you're not traveling in your retirement days and you're back in this neck of the woods, I'd love for you to come and be in studio as you have been a couple times in the past. But thank you so much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Enjoyed being with you.
Really, really appreciate it. That was fantastic. We had to hit a break here. Thank you again to George Wallace Jr. talking about his father. Powerful message there. I have to admit, the transformations, the reconciliation, the forgiveness, the love that came out in so many episodes of George Wallace's life, I was ignorant of. And so to hear that in these times where that seems to be lacking, forgiveness, made my day. Thank you, George Wallace Jr.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack, for setting that up. We'll be
certainly
right back. More news and views after this.
Local Talk, the River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Jones Brothers is so much more than roofs. Improving the look and energy efficiency of your home is easier than you think. New windows from Jones Brothers are not only beautiful, but can save you real money. Vinyl siding is a great way to update the look of your home and save on your energy bills. With Cedar Ridge composite siding from Jones Brothers, your home will be four times more insulated than with ordinary siding. Call Jones Brothers today for a free estimate. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
It's Billy with AutoSave Tire and Automotive. Time to get back on the road. And if you need tires, brakes, alignments, scheduled maintenance services, or just that pesky check engine light fixed, we do it all from oil changes to engines and transmissions at the best prices in the River Region. We have great people dedicated to repairing your vehicle right the first time. And tires, we have over 250,000 tires at our disposal daily. Check out our website, autosavetires.net. AutoSave Tire and Automotive. Come to where your auto saves you.
Hello, folks. Ed Meese here. You may remember me as President Reagan's Attorney General and his close personal friend. I'm a big fan and a strong supporter of President Trump, and I'm also a great admirer of Jeff Sessions. Jeff was an excellent U.S. attorney under President Reagan and is one of the great conservative leaders of our time. Let me clear something up. Jeff Sessions did the right thing when he recused himself from the phony Russian investigation. The law is clear. He had to recuse. He could not legally investigate himself or the Trump campaign. If Jeff had not recused, he would have broken the law, and the Democrats would have damaged President Trump badly. Jeff Sessions is a uniquely strong man with the integrity to do the right thing even when it's hard. This is Ed Meese, Ronald Reagan's Attorney General, urging you to keep supporting President Trump and to vote for Jeff Sessions for U.S. Senate.
I'm Jeff Sessions, candidate for the United States Senate. I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Sessions Senate Committee, Inc.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and I have a message for our men and women in blue. The weight of the badge is heavy, but your financial burden doesn't have to be. We at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate your service to our communities. As a thank you, each law enforcement officer who purchases or refinances their home with Alabama Home Mortgage will receive a $500 gift card at closing. You heard me right, $500. We have had the honor of working with countless hometown heroes. You should be the next. What are you waiting for? Just the other day, a Montgomery police officer refinanced his mortgage with Alabama Home Mortgage. He lowered his interest rate by an entire point and received $10,000 in cash to pay off credit card debt. In addition, he skipped 2 months' mortgage payments. It sounds too good to be true, but it's not. Call Alabama Home Mortgage at 567-4223. You deserve the best. Call the mortgage company that appreciates you. Call Alabama Home Mortgage right now. Madeline and I are standing by, ready to assist you. Call 567-4223 or visit us at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Ray Bowles at Proudville Carpet, inviting you to our summer sales event going on now. For a limited time, take advantage of our low prices on high-quality flooring. We've got red-hot deals on all carpet, laminate, and vinyl plank. Plus, receive half-off pet pad. Call for your free measurement today at 285-8117. You can save thousands, plus receive interest-free financing for up to 12 months with approved credit. Don't miss this red-hot summer sale going on now at Proudville Carpet. Call us today at 285-8117.
Are you missing shingles or seeing dark spots on your roof? One missing shingle could be a sign of weather-related damage that your insurance company may pay for. Hi, I'm Todd Clark, owner of River Region Contracting, your premier roofing contractor. We are a company that takes pride in our workmanship and only use the highest quality materials in the business. If your asphalt shingle roof is older than 10 years, call us for a free inspection on your roof today. Call us at 334-356-8635. That's 334-356-8635. Or visit us at riverregioncontracting.com or like us on Facebook.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. 272-9228 if you want to get in on the program. Again, what a great conversation. Jack is out of picture for the moment, but intern the Tim, Eddie, I did not know that. I
a lot of those stories George Wallace Jr. was sharing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course, I've seen the standing in the schoolhouse door and all that, but I did not know that he came to become friends with the students that he was blocking. And so many examples of that transformative love, it's sad that that isn't what is often touted in our history for all sorts of reasons. But, Jack, I was just sharing with folks that that was a fantastic interview. And I was largely ignorant of a lot of that. I, of course, saw the low light, so to speak, standing in the schoolhouse door, but I did not know. I was almost on this side of the desk smirking at, like, how many folks, like the guy at Meet the Press, they end up being friends. Like, that just seemed to be what happened. So,
yeah, that is true. And who's this? He was friends with Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover at the FBI. And which I don't know if that was a good or a bad thing, but. I didn't know until I read George Jr.'s op-ed piece that Edie Nixon's family had asked him to be an honorary pallbearer at Edie Nixon's funeral.
Right.
That's pretty incredible.
Powerful
Not
stuff.
To mention that Vivian Malone, one of the people who entered the University of Alabama after the famous stand in the schoolhouse door, ended up being friends with Governor Wallace. And interestingly enough, that whole thing was orchestrated, you know.
Right.
The Justice Department under Bobby Kennedy, there was a guy named Katzenbach. Can't think of his first name. He was the Assistant Attorney General. He had talked to Wallace the night before, and they had kind of worked out how it was going to go down.
It was theater, essentially, political theater.
Oh, it was theater, but it prevented at the time any kind of violent eruptions. And in George's article, when the violence broke out on the Selma to Montgomery March, Wallace was in his office with Bob Ingram, who later became a very famous, he was the predecessor to Steve Flowers, used to be a guest editorialist on WSFA years ago. And, Ingram was in his office, and Ingram saw Wallace go ballistic when violence broke out in that Selma to Montgomery march. And Nicholas Katzenbach, thank you, Texter. but he, Wallace was furious because Al Lingo was head of the Department of Public Safety back then, known as the Highway Patrol. And Wallace was livid about it. So, because he didn't want anything like that to happen. So, he had a very interesting life.
Yeah, history's always more interesting and nuanced than we're led to believe. And it is fascinating. It's like, how do you go from that old South system to a newer system and keep going? It doesn't just happen, you know, oh, laws passed, everything changed. No, it took individual people at all sorts of levels. Actually, the biggest thing was forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, Wallace reached out, and I do think what George said about the reason black people ended up trusting Wallace, because when he said he was wrong, I think they believed he was very sincere about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew Governor Wallace not very well. I know George Jr. very well, but I do think his dad was sincere. You know, people do have a conversion sometimes later in life. You know, Saul became Paul.
Yeah.
So,
Jack, let me chime in and correct me if I'm wrong, but these buildings weren't named right after the schoolhouse door incident. I mean, these were named well after George Wallace had proven himself to make a turnaround. And so
I think so, Tim. I mean, some of them might have been named before that, but I don't.
Sure.
I think they were named after he died, mm-hmm. which was 98, well after his reconciliation community.
I wonder if any of these Auburn students that are signing this petition have any idea of anything.
They have no idea.
Not a clue.
If they had heard George Jr. today, I think they would have changed their tune.
Agreed. Definitely.
Well, 272-9228, we got a few calls here, and here's a familiar name. I hadn't talked to in about a month or so, and that was all fair. Hey, Bo, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, Bo.
Howdy, howdy. Yeah, you know,
I don't even know where to start. That interview with George Wallace Jr. was great. I remember, when I went to St. James, we had, I guess when he was still, he was holding a government office, our class actually went and we got to go into his office and meet him and talk to him. I mean, I was just a kid. It would have been in the very early 1990s. Yeah, but that interview was great. But, you know, I'm flustered. Y'all had a caller yesterday that called in and said, you know, I'm so glad I don't live in Montgomery. And, you know, if you don't like Montgomery, that's fine. You left it and leave us alone. I lived in Mobile for several years, and I moved back to Montgomery. And I could have gone anywhere, and I wanted to stay here. I've said this a million times on the air. My great, 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 however many greats grandfather was the first mayor of Montgomery, served two terms. I love this city. And Montgomery has traditionally, especially over the last several decades, we've done very well. And when all this, you know, nonsensical violence breaks out and everything, for the most part, we all tend to get along and love each other, as you should. There's no reason not to. And I hope that we can stay that way, because there's, you know, there's no need for any of this. And it's all, you know, pushed by the media and pushed by activists just to try to create drama where it doesn't need to exist, if that makes sense. And, sure. You know, I don't like it. I mean, everybody that I know that I'm friends with, no matter their background or whatever, we all get along just fine. There's really no logical reason why everybody shouldn't, until, you know, people manufacture stuff and just try to push people's buttons. And I still think it's all manufactured, but I don't like it, but I don't know what to do about it.
I've made the point several times that Montgomery, despite being the first White House of the Confederacy, excuse me, and the birthplace of civil rights, we've all gotten along pretty much without bloodshed in our city, in our county. And I'm really proud of that, because there were some tense times back then. The protests were handled a couple of weeks ago, despite a couple of ATMs getting vandalized. Other than that, I think it was, you know, kudos to the black and white community in Montgomery for, you know, just kind of getting through this. And, you know, I think the message about brutality was gotten out. I think people heeded it, took it to heart. And we did so without incident, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, you know, I am too. You know, it was just, I work downtown, and so I was, you know, naturally, you know, concerned, because I saw what was going on TV and everywhere else. But, you know, again, I can't watch television news. All of it's propaganda anyway, and it just, you know, it makes you feel so helpless, because you can't do anything about it. Except to control yourself, to control your own behavior, your own actions. That's all anybody can do. And I think everybody just needs to take a deep breath and realize that. You know, and just...
True. Amen.
Love your neighbor, and, you know, that's... It's really not hard, guys. It's not hard. So, I mean, is there, you know... Life's not fair, and there's bad stuff that happens. There's bad stuff that happens to everybody, and... Sometimes there's really, really, really bad stuff and absolute disgusting things that happen, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the entire country has to be burned to the ground to fix that problem.
Right.
Well, Bo, I don't know, I'm rambling.
No, it's all good. No, I appreciate good. Hearing from
appreciate
you.
Appreciate you call, man.
Hey, y'all, yeah, I listen. I don't get to call in as much as I used to, but I love y'all and I listen, and y'all have a great Friday and weekend.
And remember, Bo, again, folks, we're talking to Bo Holt, O'Doyle rules.
O'Doyle rules!
Have a good one.
Y'all take it easy. Bye.
Bye. 272-9228. Don, Papa B, Debbie, Miss Pine Level, I assume. Y'all hold your position.
Miss Pine Level, my God, where's she been?
I know, and she's so sweet.
I know,
she really is. We got to hit this break. We'll come back to all y'all after this. News and views from 9 till noon. This part of the program brought to you by Dan Black Studios. I brought you the first hour. We told you about the 50% off on those video transfers, old analog formats, bringing them into the digital future. But also Dan Black Studios, they can take those old tape cassettes, put those into a digital format, your favorite music. Take up all those CDs you collected and put it on a thumb drive to be compatible with that new car stereo. If you need video editing done, maybe you have raw video footage shot, and you need them to present it in a nice package, they can do that for you. Or maybe you need video production from the ground up for a TV commercial, online branding videos. They do it all at Dan Black Studios, a 38-year small business here in the River Region, so y'all support them. Give them a call today, 279-6036, 279-6036, or go to danblackstudios.net. Thank you to Dan Black and the whole team at Dan Black Studios for being a great sponsor of News and Views from 9 till noon. We'll be right back. What you see is what you get.
To carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, this is David Little from Tucker Pecan Company. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for over 10 years now, and the results have been amazing. Every day, we have new customers that come in that have heard us on all the different radio stations that we advertise on. If you want to help your business grow, the best way to do it is through radio advertising through Blue Water Broadcasting. They do a great job in promoting our business and helping us grow our business, and hopefully they can help you grow your business too.
Radio advertising is an investment in the success of your business. It grows traffic, creates demand, and generates more revenue. Call us and find out how. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Caravita Village. Seniors, one call can take care of it all. Meals, transportation, activities, utilities, housekeeping, all included in one low monthly rent of $15.49 for a private suite. Reserve your tour and free lunch. Go to caravitavillage.com. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. On this last full day of spring, Alabama continues to heat up. High temperature today, 90 to 92. A little bit more humidity. Any showers or thunderstorms that pop up will be very isolated in nature, widely scattered. Tonight's low down to about 69. Tomorrow, on the first day of summer, how about a high of 94? Maybe even hotter on Father's Day, 96. And the rain chances over the weekend, not zero, but 20% or less. And rain chances getting a lot better next week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
CBNS Bank has digital banking solutions to help you keep up. Check balances, pay bills, transfer funds, manage your card, deposit checks, and much more. Learn more at cbsbank.com. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Hi, this is Dan Black with Dan Black Studios. We can convert your home movies and videos, as well as slides and photos, to digital files and DVD, whether it's VHS, Betamax, or any other home video format. We can also transfer your photos and videos from your iPhone as well, freeing up valuable storage. And if your new car doesn't have a CD player, we can convert your favorite tunes to a USB drive. Call 279-6036 or go online to danblackstudios.net.
Switch to WOW Superfast Internet 200 for $44.99 per month with a safe, contact-free installation. Their techs will call in advance, leave equipment at your door, and talk you through the process. Switch to WOW today. Stay connected. Details at wowway.com.
Metro Fitness is here to serve all your fitness needs. We're welcoming summer with a great three-month membership special that includes all the gym has to offer with no hidden fees. Come experience our variety in group fitness classes, the walking track, steam room, sauna, and the functional fitness zone. We're following all the new guidelines set down by the Department of Public Health, so your safety is our priority. Come be a part of our Metro family in this great three-month offer. MetroFitness.com.
Have you heard about those guys on the Health and Wealth Show?
Hide your wives and daughters. Hide the groceries, too.
Well, they're not that bad, but they are on the radio. 6 until 7, weekday evenings on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Cole Plumbing, 279-8919. Cole Plumbing is number one in the number two business. You don't have to dig a hole. They have proprietary pipelining technology. Ask them about their tankless water heaters. Remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 till noon. This part of the program brought to you by Express Fitness 24/7. Y'all check them out today. I'm going to the Harrison Road location, 3331 Harrison Road. That's Express Fitness 24/7, the old Hogan's Gym. 24/7 access when you become a member. Sign-up fee and then month-to-month payments. You don't have to do any long-term contracts. And anything to meet your fitness goals, well, they can supply free weights or weight machines or cardio equipment. Folks of all ages in there. And, yes, they are COVID-19 compliant. Renovated the place, actually, after the shutdown. So y'all check them out today. ExpressFitness24.com. That's the number 24. ExpressFitness24.com. That location on Harrison Road and many others around the River Region. And if you do stop by, be sure to tell them Joey from News and Views on the radio sent you. 272-9228, the good luck getting in. All lines are lit. Jack, how you doing?
Well, after having two TIAs today, I think I'm all right.
All right.
No, I want to clear something up. Before you hopped on and you were talking about the fountain downtown, we were talking about it. And I said, just so you know, that if this is for Juneteenth, not permanent, but for Juneteenth, I think it looks great and fine if it's a volunteer effort. And it seems like it's what it is. If it's permanent,
well,
that's all
the discussion. Well, it's not painted on the Belgian bricks. It's painted on the cement pavers or whatever around the fountain. But nonetheless, according to Red Top, who's a painter, it's latex paint.
And that's what I don't know. It's what I would want to double check is because if it's for Juneteenth, you know, slavery, you know, fully emancipated. This is historically Montgomery where the slave trade happened, correct? And so if this is to celebrate it and it's done with volunteer work, the question is, was Red Top right about the permanence of it? And we shall see. And I understand this is what's so interesting about the Black Lives Matter movement is there are folks who are just simply saying Black Lives Matter and they mean very well by it. And then there is also a full organization that backs the Democratic Party.
That's my problem.
Right. So, and maybe it's
co-opted the name.
You're right.
Black Lives Matter, and that's what people think of when they say that or hear that.
So maybe it's nearly
volunteer movement that started with the good intentions of people now has evolved into a political organization.
But if you speak out about it or against it, all of a sudden you're the devil. Even though, you know, your problem might not be with the fact about Black Lives Matter. It's
Lives matter. And I understand why, after some of these incidents in the country with unarmed black people being killed, that people would say Black Lives Matter. I understand that. And I don't object to that. I object to politicizing public property.
There you go.
Well, let's go to the phones, 272-9228, and talk to Don. Hey, Don.
Hey.
How you doing?
Listen to Bo. All we need is love. Is the paint being put on the brick?
No. No, it's not on the brick. It's on the sidewalk that wraps around the fountain.
All that is porous surface. It won't come off. I mean, I don't know if somebody's going to pay to go down there maybe with pressure washers and try to clean it up. Other than that, you're not going to get it out of a porous surface. But the other part, you know that they're asked to do with the away with the gator chomp. Did you know that?
Yeah.
What, that's wait, right. Why? I'm first hearing why? This.
No, it's the gator why? Bait
Don,
chant.
Don, why is that?
Someone out of the June 10th said that gators ate slave babies. And so we're doing
God with. Say, come on,
but
come on.
If this is true, didn't Alfred step on slaves somewhere, or we're going to have to get rid of Big Al?
I'm all about that.
I mean, what is the.
Well, and
where
then also
craziness stop. Where
Don,
does it
did
stop?
Did you hear about the? What, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, intern the Tim. The mayor of Minneapolis wants to remove the title for the head of the police as chief of police and chief.
Yeah, so it was a story out of Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth,
okay. Yeah. And but I've also seen it kind of echoed around the rest of the country. It was city councils kind of all over are reevaluating using the word chief.
yep.
So. So,
my,
Go ahead.
My thing, the stupidity never stops. I got an idea. They want to get rid of the rebel flag out of the Mississippi flag, right? The SEC commented on that.
The SEC, which...
Yeah.
Maybe we could have an agreement. Let's get rid of the rebel flags if they'll promise not to kneel on the national anthem. There's a lot of us folks that were Vietnam War members and saw our friends come home and coffins draped with American flags. That flag means a lot. So maybe we could come up with an agreement since we're all loving nowadays.
Yeah.
We'll get rid of the federal, the rebel flag if they'll quit kneeling on the American flag. You think we could get that agreement?
No.
I don't think that's going to fly, but it's not a bad suggestion, Don.
Well, Don, I appreciate the call.
But that stuff is not going to come up down there because it's porous. Okay. Try cleaning paint-off brick. You're not going to get it off.
All right. Thank
you. I hope whoever allowed them to do it is making them go down there and pressure wash the whole thing, and the city don't have to go down there and do it.
Thanks,
Maybe a councilman could.
Right. Thank you. 272-9228. Let's go to Papa B.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Papa B.
Jake.
How you doing?
You know, you're going to find this interesting. I know you don't have much time, so I'm going to try to be quick. But, Jack, my first cousin is George McMillan Jr. His mother is my aunt. And he was the only man to be able to come within a whisker.
George McMillan Jr. He was Lieutenant of Alabama. I talked to him a few weeks ago. And I said, I want you to come on my show.
I wish he would. He is the only man to come within a whisker of beating George Wallace.
He got him into a runoff in 1982 in the Democrat primary for governor.
Yeah, that's right. So, but at any rate, you know, my new favorite saying from old is ignorance breeds contempt. And what a great interview you had there with George Wallace Jr. And, you know, the problem, as I see, is that, you know, really the fulsome scope of history is just not being taught in the public school system. They only, you know, really focus on, you know, the really dark side, and they don't, you know, bring into consideration all of these other great things, because George Wallace was really a transitional governor, when you think about it, a transitional figure from the Old South to the New South. And so, you know, I have a concern that it's not just not being taught, it's not being taught on purpose in order to continue to have that leverage of, you know, the black against white and so forth. What do you think about that, Joey, Jack?
Well, I think it's actually an example of what's being done with history in general, is you focus on certain sins of the past and mistakes and only those things, and then you indict the whole system because of it. It's something that I worry about. Because history, again, is very complicated and nuanced, and the way we transition and have real progress is not like, oh, all the wise and enlightened came down and slayed the benighted and evildoers, and there was peace across the land. Not how it works. And I hope that we can understand, yes, there are a lot of sins in, say, the American past, and we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, if you like. But, you know, we can also look at how did the United States end these institutions and end so many sins that have been perpetuated throughout human history? And what was the unique ideology, the unique philosophy that undergirded the country that led to these transformative changes so quickly within generations? To me, that's the story of America, that despite the same flaws and fallenness that has always afflicted the human race, the United States has been able to progress and create a new type of country. And so I hope we hold strong to that idea, whether it's an individual's life or the country as a whole.
And I just would add, no race and culture has a lock on, you know, moral superiority. There's, you know, every race and culture that's in this country is no better than any other race and culture. There are good things and there are bad things. And I could, for every bad thing you might be able to point out about one, I can find another for another race and culture. So it's not like, you know, this is a one-way street. This is definitely a two-way street. And people need to kind of look at that, too. But anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Poppy.
Hope you do get George on in. I'd like to hear from him.
Okay, I'm working on it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. 272-9228. I think we got time for one more. Let's talk to Debbie. Hey, Debbie.
Good morning, guys. Just wanted to tell you, if you want to know anything about what's going on at Black Lives Matter type things, just turn on Channel 12, WSFA. They showed the painting of that this morning and all the people out there that were working on that. And I have a question. This $25.
Were you able to ascertain, is this just a temporary thing or is it permanent?
Well, they did. They were doing a really nice job. It looked like it would be permanent, but I just presumed that it would be temporary, I hope. That's a beautiful fountain, and I certainly would hate for it to be damaged like that. They didn't say, of course, they didn't say, but they didn't say we'll wash it off in a week or anything like that. So okay. Don't know. But I want to ask, this $25 fine applying to everyone in Montgomery without a mask, does that apply to everybody or the people that apparently don't seem to matter? Are they going to pick and choose, you think, who gets fined $25?
I don't know how they're going to do it. Are they going to have cops walking around at strip shopping centers and East Chase and Zelda Place? I mean, I don't know.
I thought they might just be somewhere and just pick out somebody, and it just might be me. So I'll wear my silly little mask, but I'm mad as hell, and I'm tired of taking it. But I just want to tell you, Jack, thanks for the interview with George Jr. I've met him a couple of times. He's very nice. And I wanted to tell you that I worked in his presidential campaign, and I got promoted from just packing envelopes and stuff like that to opening the mail. And somebody sent him some Monopoly money one time, and I got real upset. I just thought that was terrible. And they said, this is what we think of you, phony. I didn't understand how politics worked at that time. I certainly know now it worked in many campaigns.
Well, they did a lot of pass the hat at those rallies all over the country. And I think George is, and I would tell this to George Jr., I think his Uncle Gerald probably dipped into the kitty a little bit himself.
Everybody thinks that now.
Yeah, Jack. Yeah. Gerald was known to have gotten some favors, probably unbeknownst to George.
I got one more thing to tell you. I called the governor's office this morning, and I told her my worry about promoting a Democrat in Birmingham, and the lady said, I haven't heard anything about that. And I said, well, it's circulating in my area. And I said, quite a few people are talking about it. And I said, I'm a Republican. I've